one accord in one place. Suddenly there come a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them, what? Cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. There were, dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, well, imagine that, devout men, that's very important. That means these are people that knew God. They knew the Old Testament. They knew their religion. They knew the prophecies of the Messiah. Devout men. Not like in today's religious world where you can say I'm a Christian, but that don't mean nothing.
Yep.
That there are people who say they're a Christian, but they don't go to church.
Amen.
There's people who say they're a Christian, but they don't read the Bible. They say they're Christian, but they don't, they don't, they don't. That's not what this means. These are devout. In order to be devout, that means you are consistent and you are disciplined. That's what it means. That means they were real about what they believed.
Yeah.
Right? Out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, what? Well, the rushing mighty wind, people from Jerusalem talking in foreign languages. The multitude came together, were confounded. Here's why. Because every man heard them speak in his own language. Amen. They were all amazed and marveled and said one to another, wait a minute, ain't all these people that are talking Galileans? How hear we every man in our language where we were born? That means them Galileans wasn't speaking in no accent.
Yeah.
I got a hunch anybody from East Tennessee that learned French is going to speak East Tennessee French. Just a hunch.
Mm-hmm.
I got a hunch anybody born and raised an hour west of Chicago that learns French is going to speak west of Chicago French. I just got a hunch. But when these guys said they're speaking in the tongue in which we're born, they didn't mean they learned it, but they got their accent. They mean they sound just like us, and we were born speaking this language, right? Then they listed Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, and Egypt, parts of Libya, about Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, new converts, Cretes and Arabians. We do. All those different kinds of people said, we hear them speak in our language the wonderful works of God. They weren't speaking gibberish.
Yeah.
Wasn't shimatai, shimatai, shimatai. Wasn't blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
These people heard what they said, and what they were saying, they were worshiping God. But be careful what you mock.
Yeah.
They were all amazed and doubt, saying, what means this? Others making fun, always somebody.
Yeah.
Takes a very small mind to make fun of something you don't understand.
Right.
Matter of fact, takes no mind at all. Others making fun said these men are drunk. Yeah. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, said unto them, ye men of Judea, dwellers at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, listen up. These ain't drunk like you think they are. Love that. Seeing it's but the third hour of the day, that's 9 a.m. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, we know because we've been hearing this for the last 3 weeks. He's going to talk about the Spirit being poured out in the last days. We also know that there are preachers today that say that's still coming. They preach about the Spirit being poured out in the last days like it's coming, it's coming. Peter said that was that day and it was 2,000 years ago. Most preachers who preach it that way have not read the Bible. They're unlearned.
Yeah.
They care more about exciting people than they do about sharing Bible truth. Bible truth is, Peter said 2,000 years ago, this is that.
Amen.
So the last day started 2,000 years ago. There ain't no time left to play.
Amen.
Go to verse 36. He gets to the end of his message. He says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus who you crucified. Peter ain't scared now, is he? Made that same Jesus both Lord. Is that capital Brook or little L?
Yeah, big L.
This ain't the Lord's a flat bush here, folks.
Well,
made him both Lord and Christ.
Christ.
So that means then, Any time after that verse that anybody does anything in the name of the Lord, that name is Jesus.
Jesus.
When John got Clyde for his birthday, before John got Clyde, Clyde was somebody else's.
Yeah.
But when Clyde was given to John, from now on, when we refer to Clyde's owner, owner's not Clyde's owner's name. Clyde's owner's name is John.
Yep.
The name of Clyde's owner is John.
Amen.
If Jesus is Lord, the name of the Lord is Jesus. It ain't rocket science.
Nope.
And I don't need a PS to the Bible written by some doctor of God to tell me why that ain't that way.
Yep.
The Holy Ghost wrote this book.
Yes, it did.
Thank you, doctor of God, but I'm going to take what the Holy Ghost has to say about it.
Or he's God.
Now, he said, you crucified this Jesus, but God has made that same Jesus both Lord and Christ.
Yes.
Now, look what happens when they heard this. Not when they heard all 36 verses.
Yeah.
This is why God woke me up in the middle of the night with this verse. When they heard this, when who heard this? Devout Jews.
Amen.
Disciplined Jews.
Yep.
Consistent worshipers of God. When they heard that God had made Jesus Lord, look what happened. They were pricked in their heart. They were convicted. And they said unto the Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? It wasn't about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost that pricked their heart.
Nope.
It wasn't even about the fact that they had crucified that man.
Yep.
It was the fact that they just learned that man they crucified, God now had made Lord.
Yep.
You need to understand this.
That's right.
For Jews, there's only one Lord.
Yep.
There ain't two.
Nope.
There ain't three.
One God.
The first commandment that Jews teach their children and the first commandment Moses gave, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So when Peter said, God has made that Jesus you crucified Lord.
Amen.
Them Jews knew
that
they were telling them Jesus is God.
He's God. Yep.
And that's why they were pricked in their heart.
One in the same.
What must we do?
Hallelujah.
Go to your bookmark in Mark chapter number 12. Mark 12 and 29, red words. I wish some folks that only believe red words would live them.
Yep.
Mark 12 and 29, Jesus answered, the first of all. All means all.
Yes.
It don't mean the first of the first five. It don't mean the first of the New Testament.
Hallelujah.
It means the first of all. The commandments is what? Hear, O Israel.
Yes.
The Lord is that big L in your Bible or little L? That's big L.
Yes.
The Lord our God is one Lord. Only one Lord. There ain't two. There ain't three. There ain't three that share it. There is no one third of the Lord. There is one Lord.
One.
Now look, you know what the hard problem for people is? It ain't for looking at the Bible and reading a verse like that and saying that makes sense because they're looking at the Bible.
Yeah.
It's looking at the Bible and reading a verse and saying that makes sense compared to what I've always been taught.
Yeah.
That's what's tough. You can't decide what part of the Bible you're going to believe by comparing it to what you've always been taught.
Yeah. Yep.
God ain't going to look at you when you stand in front of the white throne and say, okay, let's go over what you were taught before you read that verse because that's going to depend on what your truth is.
Yes.
You know that new phrase that come up in society today? You know,
The
ones that need time out on college campuses? Your truth? There's only one truth.
No
Jesus
such
said,
thing.
I am the truth.
Yep.
There is no my truth, your truth, their truth.
Mm-mm.
There's one truth, and Jesus is the
one
truth. Kind of funny how he's the truth and he's Lord also, eh?
Yep.
But people have a problem because they have to filter what they're going to believe in the Bible based on what they've been taught somewhere else by somebody else. That will send you straight to hell.
Yes, it will.
That's why people follow Jim Jones to Africa and drink Kool-Aid and die by the hundreds. That's why they go to El Paso or whatever it is, El Waco in Texas, and they barricade themselves into a house with David Koresh.
Waco.
Because they don't examine what they're taught by the Bible.
Amen. It's true.
It'd be a lot easier for me if I didn't teach all the Bible.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be in this little room anymore.
No.
Oh, man, all I got to do is preach an easy religion and find out what everybody believes and preach that religion. Boom, there they are.
Yeah.
I remember reading Redwood somewhere else said, straight is a gate and
narrow is the way.
Narrow is the way. And few there be the what?
Find it.
Well, look, everybody here today is going to find the way.
The way.
You're going to be one of the few. But I'm going to go back to what I said before we sang that song. What you do when you find it, that's up to you.
Yeah.
But you will answer. I will answer when I stand in front of God for what I have done with what I have found. And God's not going to give me a margin of error based on what I've always been taught.
Wow.
God don't work that way. Your bookmark in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. See, we just stand in the Bible, ain't we? What a novel idea. What an unusual way to have church. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is
one Lord.
The only verses of the Bible that have words that wasn't in the original translation is all the ones besides the King James Version. I can prove it. We'll do that lesson on another night. If you're reading the Bible ain't King James, you got a lot of stuff ain't in your Bible that's supposed to be.
Throw it away.
That ain't because I like it that way. It's because it's facts. Do your research. But in God's Bible, the Lord our God is one
Lord.
This is the Lord that Peter was referring to, that when he said God has made that same Jesus, not just a Christ, but also Lord, and that's why all the devout Jews said, whoa, hold up.
Praise
because these devout Jews knew Isaiah 9 and 6 said, for unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given. Hey, then Isaiah 9 and 6 said, his name shall be called Emmanuel, God. With us, not a third of God, not a part of God, not God's essence. God.
Yep.
God. Ephesians 4 and 5. Ephesians 4 and 5. One Lord, one faith.
Yes.
One baptism. One.
One, one, one.
Right. Ephesians 4 and 5 doesn't say that there's three lords that are one and share the same godness.
No.
It says one Lord.
One
Lord. There's only one. So if God is Lord, the Father's Lord,
Jesus.
And we just found out the Father made Jesus Lord, what'd the Father do? Abdicate his position?
No.
There's only one.
Amen.
Did he step out and say, I'm no longer going to be Lord? You can be Lord, Jesus, Son. One Lord.
Mm-hmm.
One faith.
One faith.
We got a serious problem in the American church.
Yes.
Because there's 95. There's more Christian flavors than there are Baskin-Robbins ice cream.
Yes.
And that's because in most churches, you have entire Bible studies written by a doctor of God.
Yeah.
And what his opinion is of, guess what? The Bible. Entire week-long courses
And they hand out curriculum and everything by the God doctrine. And what he thinks the Holy Ghost really meant to say.
No.
Yeah, what he meant to say.
Not digging it.
That's what he really meant.
Yeah.
The one faith? Okay, look. We'll step outside of Godhead and we'll just talk about one faith. I'm not being mean, but there's a whole lot of people in the world today in big trouble if there's only one faith. Because you got to understand, just because 9 million people say they're Christian don't mean they all share the same faith.
Amen.
They can all say we're all the Christian faith. No, I'm sorry, we are not.
Nope.
Jesus said you must be born again.
Yes.
Amen. So all these people talking about I'm saved, congratulations, but have you been born again? Because Jesus said you must be born again.
Yes.
Jesus said, unless you're born again, you won't see the kingdom of heaven. Unless you're born again. So
born
congratulations.
Again.
I never argued with anybody about whether they're saved. Thank God. I'm glad you went to Vacation Bible School when you was 8 and never went back. But hey, it's okay. You're saved. How about being born again?
Yeah.
Because this one Lord is the creator of this one faith. And he's the one that said you must be born again.
Yes. Amen.
Then this one Lord that created this one faith said in my one faith that I as the one Lord am going to create, there's only going to be one baptism.
Hallelujah.
And guess what? I got a hunch. I love it. You can't get it from it. That this one Lord that took this one faith and put one baptism in it and then put that one faith in this one book is going to have examples all through this one book of how that baptism is done.
Amen.
It ain't that hard. But religious people will look at 9 times in the Bible where people were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and say, you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
So now, we don't have just one Lord anymore, because anybody that looks at those red words and denies them has become Lord themselves.
Yeah.
Anybody that finds one baptism, I'm not talking about more than one verse that tells you a way to do it. I'm talking about more than one way it was done, and there's only one way it was done.
Amen.
So anybody that finds that one way it was done and says, oh, you don't have to do that, there's no longer one Lord in their life because now they are God too. It's plain and simple. It's true anyhow.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Listen to this.
Hallelujah.
I put this on the group thing, the messenger thing. But anybody else who wants this, I'll be happy to send it to you. Ready for this? Listen up. For the first 325 years of Christianity, 100% of all Christian churches baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, here's the part I want you to listen, because you've heard that from me before. According to the Britannica Encyclopedia, 11th edition, volume 3, page 82, and page 365 and 366. Also, according to the Caney Encyclopedia of Religion, volume 3, page 82. Also, according to the Catholic Encyclopedia, volume 2, page 263. Also, according to the Hastings Encyclopedia of Religion, volume 2, page 377. Oh, hold up. Also, according to the New International Encyclopedia, volume 22, page 477. Also, according to the Encyclopedia of Religion and Ethics, volume 2, page 384 and 389. Also, the Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible, volume 1, page 351. And finally, also, A History of Christian Thought, volume 1, page 53. 100% of all Christian churches for the first 325 years taught that there is only one God, and he is not three persons, but rather one God, one Lord, manifested to man in three ways. The Father in creation, the Son in redemption, and the Holy Ghost in regeneration. Are you ready for this? A lot of folks ain't going to like this when they find this out, because they don't realize they're Catholic. In the year 325, the Catholic Church held a council in Nicaea, which is modern-day Turkey, instituted baptism, guess how, in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It was created by the Catholic Church. It is a Catholic baptism, and it was not done one single time in the Bible. Neither was it done one single time in the first 325 years of Christian church history. Not one single time. And yet, there are people today that will look at Matthew 28:19 and say that one verse is why I'm ignoring these 19 other verses. What? I'm going to quote you from the Catholic Encyclopedia. This is a quote. You ready? Resplendent in purple and gold, Roman Emperor Constantine made a ceremonial entrance at the opening of the council, but respectfully seated the Catholic bishops ahead of himself. As the author Eusebius describes it, Constantine himself proceeded through the midst of the assembly. You ready for this? This is a Roman emperor, like some heavenly messenger of God, clothed in raiment with glittered, as if it were, rays of light, reflecting the glowing radiance of a purple robe and adorned with the brilliant splendor of gold and precious stones. That reminds me of Jesus that said the wolves and or the foxes and birds know where they're going to sleep tonight, but I don't have anywhere to lay my head. The emperor was present and overseer, presider, but did not cast any official vote. Constantine organized the council along the lines of the Roman Senate, unquote. This is where baptism and the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost were instituted. Look it up. Another result of the council, you ready for this? Was an agreement on when to celebrate Easter. Listen to this one, and I quote, "We also send you the good news of the settlement concerning Easter, namely that in answer to your prayers, this question also has been resolved. All the brethren who have followed the Jewish practice," you know, the Jews, "will henceforth observe the custom of the Romans for Easter," unquote. We will never have an egg roll. We will never hide Easter eggs. We will eat chocolate bunnies the day after Easter. They're less than half price. I like them. But we will not follow. And do what your conscience allows you to do. But as a Christian, when I learned that the bunny, that they used to worship the bunny's ability to make new babies, and it was a spring festival, and these festivals were celebrated with orgies, and they honored the bunny and eggs. I don't care what Walmart sells. I'll eat it. The Bible says give thanks for all things, and you eat it. I'm going to eat it. But once I have learned what these things are, I'm no longer, if I am a devout Christian, I don't care if I'm not using it to observe that. That'd be like having a pentagram on my wall at home and saying, "Oh, I don't worship the devil, though. It's all good." No. 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 See, this is what happens when you stay in the Bible. You start learning that God had something to say about everything.
Yes.
The same Catholic Church that initiated baptism, now hear this, that removed, according to Acts 4:12, look it up, the only name under heaven given among men, that means there is no other name that was given to mankind. No
Amen.
Other name.
Amen.
Whereby we must be saved.
Must be.
Who is it, pray tell, that would want to take the one name that can save anybody in baptism out of baptism?
Good question.
It wouldn't be God.
Good question.
It's the devil.
Yeah.
What did Jesus say in Mark 16? And said, I know you all can quote this by now, some of you, and I'm glad for that. Thank you very much. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved."
Yes.
So then if Acts 4:12 said there's only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved,
Jesus,
That name is Jesus. It says so. Even if I was to forget the rules of English language and speak Ebonomics to you. Ebonics, that's what I call it. And speak ghetto to you, which I can, by the way. I'm pretty good at it. And told you that, okay, dude, we're going to forget all the rules of grammar and say Father's name, which it is not. And say, okay, Son is a name, which it is not. And Holy Ghost is a name, which it is not.
Amen.
And I grant you that. Acts 4:12 says there's only one name that can save you, and that name it says is Jesus.
Jesus.
So you go ahead and get baptized and let them say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost over you if you want to, but you didn't get saved.
No power.
Because there's only, I didn't write the book, man.
Yep.
I was going to kick out when people get aggravated with me. How you going to get aggravated with a reporter? And this is why some people get new versions, because some of the stuff ain't in it.
That's right.
So the same Catholic Church that initiated baptism, that removed the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and replaced it with titles? If you're a daddy, congratulations, but that's not your name, that's your title.
Yeah.
That's your office.
Yeah.
The same Catholic Church also teaches that Emperor Constantine is now a saint in heaven, and if you want to be guaranteed to get your prayer to God, just pray to Constantine. He'll be your mediator, and he will get it to him. So you can't just believe in their baptism and throw all the rest of their stuff out. You're one or the other.
Yeah.
It's one or the other. 1 Timothy 2:5 says there's one God and one mediator between God and man. And guess who that is?
Jesus.
Most people that believe in the Trinity, what they think they're saying is, I believe in the Father, I believe in the Son, and I believe in the Holy Ghost. And they're right about believing in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. What they don't understand is that the Trinity, you ready for this? I know it's going to shock you. Was created by the Catholic Church in the same council, and the real definition of the Trinity means that these are three separate persons. I know we're going to get hate because it don't make no sense. You got to have more faith to believe this than you do that there's one God.
Yeah.
Here's God the Father. Here's God the Son. Here's God the Holy Spirit. We're stretching that one, right? Yeah. Here's God the Holy Spirit. These three are all separate persons. But there's only one God. But we're separate persons. Catholic Church invented that. And that's why the Jews, to this day and ever since, will have nothing to do with most Christians, because the Jews say there's only one God and Christians say there's three.
Three, yeah.
Because I don't care how the Catholic Church tries to tell you these three persons are one God. If they're three persons, they're separate.
Yep.
They have to be one.
The name matters.
Let me show you this. If they ain't, Jesus lied. He that has seen me
has seen the Father.
The Word of God. No. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Now, if they were just one, like we agree and everything, he couldn't say that.
Yep.
But his name is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us.
With us.
How about this one? If the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are three separate persons, then the Holy Ghost cheated on the Father with Mary and produced Jesus, and he's an illegitimate son.
Ooh. Never thought
this is what the Bible says. Mary was engaged to Joseph before they came together.
Yeah.
She was found with child.
Oh. I never thought of that.
Oops! Somebody better tell the Father he ain't a father.
They are one.
Because the Catholic teaches he's the Father of Jesus, and that's what makes him the Father first. And then he's our Father. But the Holy Ghost got Mary pregnant. And if the Holy Ghost ain't the Father too, we got a real problem here. This is better than Days of Our Lives.
That's right.
I'll just...
God won't strike me dead for this. Hear this. There are millions of people on this planet that serve a bastard God.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep. Amen. In the pure definition of it.
That hurts. That's not a cuss word.
No. Not in
the definition of bastard is an illegitimate child.
Yep.
If God the Father is separate from God the Son, and you're separate from God the Holy Spirit, then Jesus Christ is not a legitimate son.
Yeah. Think about it.
Jim, you stay in the Bible, and no matter what I was taught. Yeah, okay, my mind's blown that I was taught that stuff and believed it all my life, but now I'm learning what that stuff really means, and I'm without excuse now.
Line upon line. Amen. Please step down, please. Hallelujah.
I'm going to give you some verses and you can go back and listen to this. Thank God stays here because I don't think we've got anything recorded for a month and it's all my fault. But I'm going to go through some kind of quick. I'll tell you when you're out of camp. Listen to this. Deuteronomy 4 and 35. Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. I'm going to let you turn there. Deuteronomy 4 and 35. Tim, you remember the verse it was I asked you to read?
Yes, I have it.
Okay. Not yet, but...
Yeah, 1 John. 1
okay.
John chapter 5.
Okay, good. What was one I gave you, David? You remember?
Yeah. John chapter 1, 14.
I'm glad you got it. Deuteronomy 4 and 35. Listen to this. Unto thee. Sorry. It's cool, Nathan. Take your time.
You'll find it. 4
yep.
and 35.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. You're good, David. This is important. I like the sound of turning by the page. One minute. 4 and 35. Unto thee, the people of God, it was showed that you might know that the Lord, capital L, he is God. Ready for this? There is none else. Where?
Beside.
The Son always was. He has no beginning. Yep. He's eternal.
Yep.
Where was he? If they're separate, where was he? Listen to this verse. Don't go there. Listen to it. You can write it down because we're going to stay in Deuteronomy 4 for a minute. Isaiah 42 and 8. I am the Lord, that is my name. Philippians 2 and 11 said, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yep.
God said in Isaiah 42 and 8, I am the Lord, and that is my name, and Jesus is the Lord. What's his name? Jesus. I am the Lord, and that is my name. Now, Lord is not a name. Lord is office.
Yes.
Office. God said, I am Lord, and that's my name. What's my name? The name of the Lord. Jesus has been made Lord. What's the name of the Lord?
Jesus.
God brought it all the way through the Old Testament, all the way up to the New Testament. That's why so many times when you read the gospel, when Jesus would say, I am the way, the devout Jews would want to stone him.
Yeah.
Because they knew he was saying, I'm God.
Yep.
And these same Jews knew the Old Testament said it would be God, but they didn't want it to be God right now because I'm the high priest this year. And if he's God and I acknowledge him, I got to lose something.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's going to be a new way of doing things around here if he's God.
Yeah.
And I've been having church this way for 30 years. My grandpappy believed this way. My daddy believed this way. I got 18 people in my family. This is my family church.
Yep.
And if I agree that he's Lord, this Jesus guy, then I got to be willing to admit that all this ain't going to be that way no more. There's going to be a new way of doing things. But they wouldn't admit it. They wouldn't accept him. They crucified him. And while he was pouring out the Holy Ghost, at the very hour it was poured out on the day of Pentecost,
yep,
the church that refused him, that wanted to keep their religion and do it their way, was across town offering up lambs at the end of the Feast of Pentecost, ignoring that the real lamb had come and gone, and now there was a New Testament church, and they were left behind.
Yeah.
The awakening that has started in our country, I'm glad for what's going on in Asbury.
Yes.
And I'm telling you right now, if I got a half an inkling that God wanted me to drive to Asbury
Make
my way up to the front and say, hey, y'all, this is awesome, praise God, and wait for them to get done cheering, and then say, would you believe there's more than this?
Amen.
If he does, I'm going.
I'm with you.
This awakening that has started, there are going to be droves, thousands, and millions of people that are going to come to the same place the church did in the Gospels, where they're going to come face to face with Scripture they cannot logically deny, where they're going to have two choices, to stay doing what they've always done
Amen.
And be left behind, or admit what they see and do something about it.
Praise God.
Once you start studying this,
no,
you got to force yourself to not see it.
Yes.
And it gets to the place where the people you tell you don't see it, they don't believe you anymore either. I am the Lord, that is my name. Philippians 2:11 says that every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Guess what? To the glory of God the Father. What? Isaiah 42:8 ends by saying, God says, my glory will I not give to another.
Amen.
Well, Jesus Christ is Lord, and that brings glory to the Father. And the Father said, I won't give my glory to another. They got to be the same, or another has stolen God's glory.
One Lord.
You see, when you don't look at it religiously and you just look at it logically, it makes sense.
Amen.
We're in Deuteronomy still. Look at verse 39. Know therefore this day and consider it in your heart that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else.
None else.
Boy, he just dissed 2/3 of his holy family. And I'm not mocking anything. I mean, honestly, he said, there is none else.
None.
Ain't nobody else but me.
Nada.
If you can believe that God called a 2-time convict hooked on cocaine and alcohol a knucklehead like me and instantly converted him and made him a different person so he was none of those things instantaneously, and then put something inside of him that will not let him run from sharing what it is that did that. If you can believe that, it cannot be too hard to believe that God could manifest himself any way he wants. He's God.
Amen.
It's God.
And that's not playing a role. That's being God.
That's being God.
Yeah.
God spoke. I got to behave myself. God spoke through a donkey once.
Yep.
And he's still doing it a lot today. Hopefully not right here. But anybody who opens their mouth and rejects that Jesus Christ is Lord, I won't finish that. I will say,
I'm having a hard time handling today.
I mean, as long as I just quote the Bible, that's not naughty, right?
No.
Okay, good. Samson's not the only one that's killed thousands of people with the jawbone of an ass.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. He wasn't in a pulpit. We're dealing with eternity. Listen to me. You say, how could you mock men of God? People that don't preach the truth of the Bible are not men or women
they
of
are
God.
Not.
I don't care what their title is. I don't care how big the group of people that come listen to them every Sunday is. That don't make them a congregation either. The people of God are found in this book. And I'm not doing this, saying this condescendingly. We're not better than nobody else. I'm not better than nobody else. We got to get this truth out. And the people that have had this truth for the last few generations are usually so rigid and so mean and strong-armed people and want to give them a list of all the things they got to change after they get up from the altar for the first time. Or they're the opposite in their church mouths that won't tell nobody nothing, that this message has got to get out or people are going to be lost. So forgive me if sometimes I seem a little overly aggressive about it. Chapter 32, book of Deuteronomy. You got to see this one. Same book, chapter 32, verse number 39. You ready for this one? See now that I am he. Uh-oh. And there is no God with me. Wait. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. God said there is no God with me. I'm all by myself.
Amen.
Turn to the right to the book of Isaiah. You have to see this. See, when we first hear a message we've never heard before, or a doctrine we've never heard before, it's easy to write it off, especially when it comes from somebody who's kind of like somebody we've never seen before. So I'm really discipline and making sure we see Bible for what I'm telling you. Isaiah 43 and verse number 10. Isaiah 43 and 10. You found it? Say I found it. That's pretty good. You are my witness, saith the Lord.
Amen.
And my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed. Okay. Neither shall there be after me.
After, yeah. Wow.
Verse 11, I am the Lord, and beside me, ready for this? There is no
Savior.
Amen. So see, the Catholic people that would take verse 10 and say, well, there's no God formed, neither shall there be after me, because all three were formed at the same exact time. Well, they can't do nothing with verse 11. It says that beside me there is no Savior. This is the Father talking.
Yes.
If the Father is separate from the Son, I thought the Son was a Savior. Now the Father is a Savior? The only way that can be true at the same time is if the Father and the Son
one.
Are one. Chapter 45, same book, verse number 5. See, you trip over this. I guess that's why they said the name of Jesus would be a stumbling block, huh? Isaiah 45 and 5. I am the Lord, and there is two others.
None else.
I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me.
Amen.
I girded you, though you have not known me. Oops. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, that's a sentence, there is none beside me. I am the Lord, ready for this? And there is none else. Verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself, that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. That means it was for a purpose. He formed it to be inhabited by us. He said, I am the Lord and there is none else.
None else.
Verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Verse 23, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return. That means he ain't going to change it, and it is this, that unto me, this is the Father talking, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear.
Yes.
Philippians 2:10 says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Things in heaven. Are you telling me God the Father, separate from the Son, is going to bow his knee? Philippians 2:11 says, every tongue should confess. Well, God the Father just said, every knee is going to bow to me, and every tongue is going to confess to me. Now in Philippians, New Testament, when God has been manifested in the flesh, Emmanuel, Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess what? That Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See how it just goes? It stacks. It stacks. It stacks. You cannot ever ignore the parts of the Bible you do understand because of other parts you don't.
Amen.
Yeah.
If when we went to kindergarten, we said, I'm not going to learn my ABCs because I don't understand cursive.
Yeah.
Then I would never understand cursive because I'm not going to learn my ABCs. The only people that have ever lived that understood all the scripture were the 12 apostles that have drilled into your soul that Jesus opened their understanding to all the scripture.
Supernatural.
And that's why we follow, guess whose doctrine? The apostles' doctrine. So don't neglect what you do understand because of the things you do not understand. If you will act on the parts you do understand, God may very well reveal to you the parts you do not understand. But if the devil sees that you won't do anything with what you do understand, because of what you don't understand, every time you try to open this Bible to learn and understand the things you don't, he's going to have somebody call you. Somebody's going to knock on the door. You're going to squirrel. Yeah. But I promise you, if all you see today out of everything I'm sharing with you is one single verse, and the rest of it you don't say, which for one second I do not believe, but if that was the case, if you acted on the one verse you did understand today, God would walk you in to all the rest. But if I don't do anything with my ABCs, he's not going to teach me cursing. I got to remember that. That's a really good illustration, doesn't it? I mean, that works pretty good, right? It's pretty good. He's not. Isaiah 48:12. I'm getting there, I promise. I'm getting there, I promise.
All right.
Listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he, I am the first, I also am the... Now wait.
Last.
I am he, I'm not them.
Amen.
I am the first, I also am the last.
Last.
Revelation chapter 1. I'm aware of the time, I'm aware of how long you've been sitting here.
Take your time.
So do a lot of Catholics.
Sorry.
You're good. If I get away with what I get away with, how am I going to get on you all? Revelation 1 and 10. Last book of the Bible, man. This is it.
What was it again?
Revelation 1 and 10.
Oh, okay.
I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. This is John. Heard behind me a great voice. Sound like a trumpet. And this voice said, I am Alpha and Omega, first and last.
Hallelujah.
Well, God the Father just said he's first and last.
Yep.
That voice said, what you see, write in the book. Send it to the seven churches in Asia. Send it to Ephesus. Send it to Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, and Philadelphia. Ooh, I didn't know. Okay. And to Laodicea. So I turned to see the voice that told me he was the first and the last. Being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the
Son of Man.
And that was red letter.
Huh?
And that was red letter.
That's red letter, baby. Anybody remember what that heathen king said when he looked at that furnace? He threw three Hebrews in there, and there was a fourth one up running around. He said, that fourth guy looks like who?
Jesus.
Son of Man.
Amen.
Woo! Jesus couldn't live them Hebrews in a furnace all by themselves. He had to get there with them, didn't he? I got news for you. I like that song, but he ain't still in that fire all by himself because he's been walking with me through some of mine.
Amen.
This one that said I'm the first and the last, the one John saw when he was in the Spirit,
right,
looked like the Son of Man, looked like Jesus. Mm. He was clothed with a garment down to his foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair white like wool. White as snow. His eyes a flame of fire. Where's that warm fuzzy Jesus? Where's that Caucasian dude? Looks all girly. His feet look like brass, like they burned in a furnace. His voice like the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Anybody know from another scripture what that is? That's a word. His countenance was like the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet like I was dead. I bet he did. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the
first.
What? And then, for slow people like me, he wrote another verse and said, in case you didn't know who I am, I'm he that's alive now, but I was dead. Jesus. Behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death. John saw Jesus. If Jesus is the second one, then he ain't the first or the last. And if he was conceived by the Holy Ghost, then Jesus is last, but he ain't first or second. Wait, oh, that'd give you a headache. Hold up.
if Jesus was conceived by the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is second, and Jesus is third, because you got the Father. Do you understand it takes more faith? Let me just give you the real word. Imagination.
Yeah.
To believe that kind of a doctrine than it does what you read? And even when what you read is hard, so what? Why wouldn't some parts of the word of, ready for this, God be hard?
Amen.
But it's believable.
Yeah.
That is not believable. And it don't line up with this. If we believe the doctrine of three separate persons, then this guy lied. This Jesus lied. Because he ain't the first or the last, he's the second. No, wait, he's the third. Wait, never mind. Revelation 19. You'll be happy to know we're on my last page of notes. And as you always know, that means absolutely nothing. Revelation 19. And it's going to be after a couple of these. I'm going to need you to read your verse, David, and then Jimmy, and I'll let you know when. Revelation 19:11, I saw heaven open. Behold, the white horse, he that sat on that horse. 19:11, Nathan, you're doing good, dude. It's hard to turn new pages, right? You'll get it. I think you got four pages to go. Just find 11. Yep. All right, good job. Getting faster. I saw heaven open and a white horse. He that sat on the horse was called Faithful, capital F, and True, capital T. Now we got to baptize the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Jesus, Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew, but he did. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Hold up. If we're going to believe three different persons, now we got four.
Yeah.
Oh, everybody laughed at that one. See, you cannot squeeze what your doctrine is into the portions of the Bible that might make it sound like it makes sense and then ignore the parts that don't. If they're three separate persons, they've got to be four.
Yeah.
Because now we've got a whole new guy. His name's called the capital Word of God.
Yeah.
Damon Reachers, please listen to this. This is in John 1. You guys can find it later because we're going to stay in Revelation. John 1 and 1. Damon?
In the beginning was the Word.
Was the Word. Is that capital W?
Yes.
What did we just read? This guy's name is called the Word. Capital W. Go ahead, David. In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was with God.
Was with God. Okay, now I might be able to go with three different. What's say next?
The Word was God.
And the Word was God. Now, okay, that might still be a little confusion. Give me verse 14, David.
And the Word was made flesh.
Uh-oh. The Word was made flesh.
And dwelt among us.
Uh-huh. We know who that was already, don't we? Jesus.
Yeah.
Go ahead, David, finish.
And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
So here we go, Revelation, dude on the white horse, eyes like a flame of fire.
Yeah.
Got a sword coming out of his mouth. Vesture clothes dipped in blood. This ain't a warm and fuzzy Jesus. That's somebody else's blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And John 1:1 said the Word was in the beginning. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So
Amen.
This guy right here is God, and his name is called the Word of God. And we learned in John 1:1 that the Word became flesh, and we know who that was, Jesus. So his name that's called the Word of God is what?
Jesus.
You can't get away from him.
Yeah.
He's everywhere.
Amen.
He's everywhere.
Truth.
He's everywhere.
Hallelujah.
He's everywhere.
Hallelujah.
Oh, he's everywhere. See, man, once you know.
Yeah.
Look, doing it.
you ever hear my total boy sound angry when I teach on one God and on Jesus' name? It ain't angry at people that believe different. It's angry at the devil.
Yeah. Yeah. Confusion.
Because once Jesus is everywhere. Look.
Man.
I left 30 verses out. I'm not lying. I couldn't bear. I couldn't pick which ones to leave out. So I hit the hold down and drug it and hit delete before I could change my mind. It's everywhere. What on the horse is called the Word of God, his name is called the Word of God, his name is Word, Word is with God, the Word is was God, the Word became flesh, and his name is Jesus. Jimmy, read this. This is 1 John 5:7. Jimmy, read this, please.
Okay. Well, there are three that bear record in heaven.
Oh, hold up now. We got three. Mm-hmm. And they bear record in heaven. Hold up. Hold up. Go ahead, Jimmy. Who are they?
The Father.
The Father.
The Word.
The Son. Wait. You said there's three.
Right.
So if the Father's first and the Word is second, the third one must be the Son.
The Holy Ghost.
Now, if we got to believe there's three persons, we got to believe there's four, because this word guy just booted Jesus clean out the picture. Now we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and the Word, and apparently the Word and Jesus are going to have to duke it out to see who finally gets the seconds of the way Jesus.
The same. One Lord.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. God said, I alone am Savior.
Amen.
The Word was God. God became flesh, Jesus. As Jesus shed his blood, rose from the grave, sent the promise of the Father, and Jesus said, they said, I'm going to send the promise of the Father. He says, I'm going to come. Not the Holy Ghost being a whole other third. Jesus said, I will come to you. Peter said to them, listen up. God hath made that Jesus, not just Christ, both Lord and Christ. And that's when all them Jews, 3,000 of them, read it. Said, hold up. What do we got to do? Then in verse 38, very next verse,
Acts 2 and 38,
Peter says, repent, be baptized, every one of you devout Jews that knows there's only one Lord must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for
remission.
The remission of sins. It's plain and it's simple. And once you see it, you can't unsee it no matter how hard you try. Matter of fact, you'll find it more and more and more.
One God.
I'm going to read you two of the last four verses in the whole Bible. I testify unto every man that hears the words of this book, if any man adds unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. Is it no wonder the Catholic Church is ridden with perversion?
Yeah.
You don't think praying on little boys is a plague?
Oh, it is.
They added baptism by titles. They added the doctrine of three separate persons. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, now here's for the once saved, always saved folks. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part, take away his part out of the book of life. What?
Amen.
Don't be confused that the same people that preach a Catholic baptism, they don't know it, but they preach a Catholic baptism, also preach once you're saved, you're always saved. One of the last verses in the Bible says, if you take anything out of this book, God said, I'll take you out of the book of life. They were in it, and God said, I'll take you out of it. That ain't once saved, always saved.
Amen.
Hey, man, I'd like that. That'd be a good gig if you can get it. But you can't get it.
Nope.
And to be sold it is to be sold a false sale of goods. It's part of you taking out of the book of life and out of the holy city, no heaven. And from the things which are written in this book, he which testifieth these things say, surely I come quickly. That was 2,000 years ago, man. You know how Lori, the good deed that was done for her, she saw and acknowledged a good deed, and then she saw what could have been and what was missing. And by seeing that, she wasn't mocking the good deed that was done, not in the least. But she saw how there was something more that could have a bigger impact. When I see things like Asbury, I thank God. Because if God is going to pour out His Spirit there, He'll try to tell them everything there is to know. Thank God.
Yep.
But these people that are flying from all over the world and all over the country and driving hours to get there, they're driving there because they're drawn to the people's response to God. Listen, the people's hunger for God.
For them.
What are they going to do when God responds?
Yep.
What do you think is going to happen when God responds? In our little church family alone, we know of stage 4 cancer gone. We know of congestive heart failure fixed. We know of 2% kidneys being brand new. We know these things in our little handful of people. What will the world do when they hear? They're going to come. And I ain't scared. And the reason I ain't scared is because all we are is tools in the
yep.
hand of the Master. And if we'll just do what we know to do, God will do
Amen.
The rest.
Amen.
But we cannot be bashful about what we know. We know, hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one. We know there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Must.
We know you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and we will be nice to people that don't know that. But
Amen.
We're not going to pretend that there is more than one Lord, there is more than one faith, or there is
Hallelujah.
More than one baptism just to draw
ah.
a crowd. We don't want a crowd. We want the
yes.
presence and the move of Almighty God.
I want God. Amen.
And if we will stay in this book, it will happen.
I believe it.
It's already happening.
Crazy.
Listen to me. If we're in a dead, dull, dry service and I say, I feel like God wants to heal somebody here, if you've got an allergy, please don't wait until you're on your deathbed
Amen.
To let me do what God has created me to do.
Yes.
Now, God don't heal every single time I pray for somebody, but by golly, He does it an awful lot. But you know where He does it? Other places.
Uh-huh.
You know why? Because for some reason, before I get there, they'll post on Facebook and say, we got an evangelist coming that operates in the gifts of healing. And I read that message, and I send them a message back, and I say, hey, if God don't tell me, I ain't going to be operating in nothing. Don't you be telling people when I get there God's going to heal, because He ain't told me He's going to. And if He don't say nothing to me, I don't care how many people you bring to grow the number of people in your congregation. I am not a puppet. prophet, and neither is God. But by God, if I'm in a service anywhere, whether it's home or in a Catholic church, I pray to God to invite me. I don't care where I am. If God tells me there's arthritis there and he wants to heal it, I'm going to stop in the middle of my preaching and raise my hand and say there's arthritis
Hallelujah.
Here. God wants to heal it, and I pray they'll listen. But as much as I love it when they do, it breaks my heart when you don't. I'm not scolding you. I'm just telling you, man.
Yep.
God don't wait. God don't say, when you get to North Carolina, I'll heal stage 4 cancer. God says, Bonnie has been cut on, she's been operated on, and they still don't know if they can help her. But God says, if somebody will pray for her, I can heal her. Father, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus to heal my sister. Lord, I don't know many people in my entire 30 years of serving you that would get up that early and drive that many hours to come to be in church somewhere that ain't got a steeple, ain't got a carpet, ain't got an altar, ain't got a pulpit, ain't got a choir. But Father, that's exactly what she has done. So I ask you to honor her hunger just like you did everybody in your book and heal her back today. I ask you to do it for your glory, and I ask you to do it in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And Father, I pray for my brother John today. I pray, Lord, that he would never need another procedure on his body. I pray today, God, you would give him strength today in his body where he needs it. I pray you would heal every single one of his organs. And if that means making one of them brand new, I ask you to do it. You're the one that made the first one. You can make another one. I ask you to do it for your glory, and I ask it in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
I'm going to swear and score nobody, but I'm telling you how if they're going to drive hours and fly from overseas to go somewhere where people are seeking God, what will people do somewhere where God is responding to that seeking? But if he responds to our seeking and nobody knows.
Yeah.
We ask you to stand with me. He said, man, dude, I thought you said it. God gave you a revelation on a scripture, gave you understanding you didn't have before. I thought you said he did. What was it? I missed it. You sure didn't tell me. Here's what it is. That all these years, I focused so much on that. I pour out of my spirit, the Holy Ghost, and good, you should.
Yeah.
I focused so much on the message afterward about, wow, it's so simple and easy. Jesus' name, baptism for remission of sin. I don't care what you got to do. It's right there, man. It's exactly what it says word for word. And yeah. I focused on it so much that I never bothered to even care. I thought it was all 35 verses of preaching that got those guys to say, hey, what? What shall we do? And God woke me up out of sleep to tell me it wasn't. It was the one verse 36 when Peter finished all the other and said that God has made this same Jesus Lord. He's not just Christ. He's Lord. And when you tell a Jew somebody's Lord, a Jew knows you're talking about God. And a Jew knows, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And that's why in verse 37, the very next verse, they said, what shall we do? And see, I usually don't get into this stuff until I've forgotten how much I enjoy teaching. I can teach a week-long seminar on this and use new verses every day and not exhaust them all. I love it. But God woke me up and gave me that revelation of those scriptures together for the first time. Why Jesus being Lord meant so much to those people. He's got to be Lord to us. See, because if he's just the Son, then there's no need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. He's just the Son. And you don't want to leave the Father and the Holy Ghost out.
Yeah.
But when we acknowledge he's Lord, according to the Bible, that can only mean he's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. The Bible says in one of the verses I deleted, the fullness of the Godhead. We describe the Godhead as the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The fullness of the Godhead dwelled bodily in Jesus. Not a third of it. The fullness of it. Now today when we leave here, we're going to do two very serious and what I consider to be holy things. One of them is potluck. But the other is this young lady right here, over a week ago, we're sitting in her living room and we went through about the same Bible study we did last Monday. She had to endure it twice. The one that's on Facebook about Jesus' name baptism. And when we got done, I asked the question, do you see it? And she said, yep. And I don't pressure nobody because they got to know. And I said, are you going to do something about it? She said, yep. So when we leave today, we're going to go to the Russell Chapel. They haven't got rid of us completely yet. We're going to go to the Russell Chapel today. And while y'all are warming the food up and stuff, I got to run and do my Clark Kent and let some critters out. And by the time you get your stuff warm, we will be at Lori's house. And Abby's going to be baptized today, like the book says, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of her sins and for the rest of her life, and more importantly, when she stands in front of God, she's going to be able to say, I'm right here.
Amen.
I'm right here. I'm going to pray.